I want to say tonight that, first of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. For me, I appreciate that very much. And I've been strengthened by your prayers here this weekend, and I want to tell you how much that it's been a privilege for me and my family to be with you this weekend. And it's been a great help to us, and it's been a great strengthening to us, and I just can't even express how appreciative I am to have been a part of the services. But I hope that the Lord's not done. And I certainly have a message that he's put on my heart tonight. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, if you'd like to turn there, and at this point you're well aware that God has put on my heart for this series of messages. He's put on my heart the book of Isaiah. And if we go another night and I have to preach another night, I can tell you already where I'm going to preach and what book it's going to be from, because my heart is there. We said the other night that some refer to it as the Gospel of Isaiah because we ought to be able to preach a doctrine, a message of salvation from the Old Testament as well as the New. And as you turn to the 59th chapter tonight, my mind goes back to a time almost 40 years ago when I was lost, and how that I was so troubled for a couple of years there. It just seemed like I was in soul trouble all the time, that I was under conviction all the time for about a 2-year period. That it just seemed in my mind anyway, every time I came to the house of God, I felt brokenhearted. Every time I would go home and lay in my bed, I would feel troubled. I just felt like at any time that I was going to die and just split hell wide open. And that was a terrible way to live. It really was. And I went to the altar so many times, I couldn't even tell you how many times I became a chronic seeker. And so I understand tonight the plight of the chronic seeker. And I came to a place where, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, God, why don't you want to save me? You know, I thought that I had done all that I could do. I had prayed every prayer I could pray. I had cried every tear that I could cry. And I began in my heart, I think, really to kind of blame God. And I just thought that God didn't want to save me. I thought that, you know, maybe God couldn't save me. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I had done everything that I had been told to do, or, you know, people use their phrases. I didn't know what the phrases meant. I didn't know what it meant to trust the Lord. I didn't know what it meant to surrender. I didn't know what it meant to give up. I do now. I do now. But I didn't know that at the time. And so I tried everything that I knew to try, and I thought I was doing what that I had been instructed, and I was as frustrated as a person could be. And I believe that I became hard-hearted, and the Bible refers to it as impudent or resistant, stubborn, obstinate. And I just am thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that that still small voice kept coming to me, that he kept troubling my heart, and he kept drawing me to the cross. And boy, I didn't want to go to the front. I didn't want to go to the mourner's bench. I was tired of going. I didn't want people coming and talking to me. There were some people that loved me. I know they loved me now. But I'll tell you, they loved me then. I misperceived it. I didn't understand. And they would come and talk to me about my soul. And I'm going to just be honest with you tonight. I got to the place where I hated them. And these were people that were close to me. This was my own grandfather. This was the preacher, the pastor of the church at the time. They would come and they would make their way toward me, and man, I'd make eye contact, and I knew where they were coming, and I didn't want them to come there, and I just began to resist and get hard-hearted and really kind of hated them in my heart. But I'll tell you, after the Lord saved me, I loved them with all my heart. And I was so thankful that they loved me enough, that they were concerned about me enough that they didn't give up on me either. But I, as we get into this tonight, I want you to understand tonight that if you're a chronic seeker, that it's not God's fault. Amen. It's not God's fault. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, it's not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Right. Now, God, I see in this tonight that first of all, Isaiah wants you to fix your mind, as we said the other night about behold, fix your mind, fix your eyes, fix your attention on the subject. Pay close attention here. He said, "The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." You have just as much of a universal opportunity tonight to get saved as you have ever had, as any human being who has ever been born into this world has ever had, and as many as that will be born into this world after us in the future will ever have. You've got just as much of that opportunity tonight. God is immutable. He's unchangeable. The Bible said this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The Lord has loved you since before the world was ever created. Amen. And I'll be honest with you tonight, this thought just blows my mind every time I even try to comprehend it. As we get into the scriptures and we read about God's love for us from before the foundations of the world. That the plan of salvation was not a knee-jerk reaction by God, but that God knew it was going to happen in his foreknowledge, and that the Trinity came together before the world was ever created and came up with the plan of salvation for us. Man, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. That Jesus promised that he would go to the cross and die for you before the world was ever created. Before you were ever born, he loved you that much. But the Lord's hand is not shortened. He's still as omnipotent. That means all powerful. Paul told Timothy that Jesus was the blessed and only potentate. Or that means he's all powerful. That he's got just as much strength tonight. Just as much power as he's ever had. And that God reached down. His arm wasn't too short. That he couldn't reach down from heaven to earth. And he did that in the person of Jesus Christ. You remember in the Old Testament how Jacob had a vision from the Lord. He saw a ladder that went on up into heaven, and there were angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. That ladder was a connection from earth to heaven. And in John, I believe it's chapter 1 there, Jesus says that the application of that ladder was him. Amen. It was him. Jesus was the antitype, or he was the reality of what that ladder was supposed to picture for us. That Jesus was the connection between heaven and earth, and that those angels were ascending and descending upon him. The Lord's hand is not shortened tonight that he cannot save. The Lord Jesus has compassed heaven and earth for you. For you. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And no matter how many times that you've cried out to the Lord, tonight his ear continues to be open to you. And I'll tell you, especially tonight, if you feel the tug, the draw, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit drawing you to come and pray. And oh, how this sinful flesh resists that. We resist the love and the drawing of Christ. I don't know why we do it. I guess it's just our sinful nature. It's our stubborn defiance that we resist God. But my friend, tonight, if that still small voice is speaking to your heart, oh, come. He's ready to hear your prayer. Amen. Amen. He's ready to hear. He inclines his ear unto you tonight. Oh, what a blessing that the God of this entire universe wants to incline and his ear and hear from you tonight. But it's not God's desire that is lacking. You remember what Peter said about it in 2 Peter chapter 3? He said, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's desire that's lacking tonight. It's not God's power tonight that's lacking. It's not God's giving you an opportunity tonight that's lacking. But the problem tonight is simply this. It's your sin. Your sin. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, tonight the issue is on your end, sinner friend. It's on your end. It's your love for sin tonight that is keeping you from seeking the Lord. It's your love for your stubborn will. It's your love for your violations of God's law. It's your love for your future, and you're afraid tonight of what God may call you to do if you surrender to him. It's your sin that's separated you between you and God tonight. It's not the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. His plan of salvation is the same for everybody. And he won't expect anything from you that he hasn't expected from everybody else that's ever been saved before you. You're going to have to come the same exact way. And you're not going to come any less, and you're not going to come any more than anybody else. I'll tell you. I see in the scriptures, I believe that there are witnesses in every generation to God's goodness and God's truths. And you grow up in a generation and other people have found the Lord. It's a witness against you. The Lord can be found. The Lord saves. The Lord wants to save. If he saved others, he wants to save you. If he can save others, he can save you. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. Boy, Isaiah says here that it's every body part that you have. It's your hands, your fingers, your lips, and your tongue. He said you're just sinful in this old body from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Yeah. Every part of you. Amen. Sinful. He says none calls for justice. We don't call for justice. Justice is people getting what they deserve tonight. But you know, every one of us is selfish. We have selfish interests. We're just looking out for us. And I'll tell you, if we got what we deserved, hell would be our eternal home. And tonight, I'll tell you, if you really get humbled and you get to a place where you can see yourself as God sees you, you would come to the place tonight where you would say, God, you know what? If you sent me to hell, it would be just. I deserve it. I deserve it. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. That's every one of us. Every one of us sent Jesus, our sin sent Jesus to the cross. But we don't call for justice. We want to sin and continue to just be. We want to sin and prosper. None calls for justice. He said, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. Vanity here is emptiness. It's things that are weak and worthless. And we trust in those things tonight. We trust in our own intellect. That's vanity. We trust in our own physical strength. That's vanity. We think that we're protected tonight by trusting in our parents, by trusting in our government, by trusting in our employers. And all of those things are empty and weak tonight, and they're vanity. But I'll tell you, there's one that you can trust in tonight who will have your back forever. He's never left or forsaken any of his children. None of them. They trust in vanity. Are you trusting in vanity tonight? What are you going to do when you get to the judgment? What are you going to do, my friend, tonight without Jesus? They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. We're just full of sin tonight. He goes on to talk about the cockatrice's eggs, or that's a snake, an adder, and the spider. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Boy, your works, being a good person, being a nice person, Trying to reform yourself tonight is not going to fix your sin problem. It's not going to fix your soul. It's not going to make you right with God. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil. We're swift tonight to run to sin, to run to violating God's laws. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting, and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they do not know. And I'll tell you, in these verses right here, and of course, if you're lost tonight, what you need is the peace of God. You need that Jehovah Shalom that we talked about the other night. Jehovah is peace. You need peace with God. You don't know what peace is until you get saved. Amen. Until you know the Lord. Amen. These scriptures here were used in the New Testament in the book of Romans, chapter 3, I believe it was, where that the Apostle Paul tried to establish the sinfulness of man. And he, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. And he goes to these very scriptures right here and uses the Old Testament to prove the sinfulness of mankind. I'll tell you tonight, you don't need anybody to tell you you're a sinner. The Apostle Paul said that you, in the second chapter of Romans, that you have the ability tonight to know the difference between right and wrong. That you've got the ability to judge inherently, that every human being, even as a small child, has the ability to know that there are certain actions that are just wrong. Even little small children know that stealing is wrong. They know that lying is wrong. And Paul says this. He says that because that you have the ability to judge, don't you know tonight that one day you'll stand before God in judgment? One day you'll stand before God in judgment. It's a proof to you tonight. The way of peace they know not. There's no justice in their goings. They've made their paths crooked. Whoso goeth therein shall not know peace. He says, therefore is judgment or justice far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness here, but we walk in darkness, or there's no righteousness, there's no goodness in our lives, but in only spiritual darkness. He says, we grope for the wall like the blind. You remember at one point in the Old Testament how that Solomon said this. He said that the wicked walk in darkness. They stumble. They know not at what they stumble. Tonight, you may be just stumbling in your life, tripping up and falling spiritually, and not even realize what has caused you to make poor life choices, to disrespect and dishonor your parents, to dishonor your upbringing, to disrespect yourself. My friend, it's sin. It's sin. There's a sinfulness there in you that causes that tonight. You're just stumbling around in this life without direction. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Oh, I love that scripture. Over there, what is it about Mark chapter? I think it's chapter 5, where that there is that man that's up there in the tombs, and the Bible says he's hanging out in the cemetery. That he indicates that he was a depressed man, that he was crying up there and cutting himself with a stone. That he was hanging out in the cemetery there around death and darkness. There were men that came up there and tried to subdue him, but he broke the chains. He beat them all away from him. He had demonic power, didn't he? He had demonic power. But you know what happened? When Jesus came on the scene and healed him, they came up there and he was sitting there at peace in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting there at the feet of Jesus, peaceful in his right mind. I'm going to tell you tonight, you get with Jesus, Jesus can fix all the wrongs in your life. All the wrongs. He is the light of the world. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he said, you know what he said about his church? And what a responsibility this is, isn't it? He said, ye, church, ye are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and set it upon a candlestick. Neither do men light a candle and set it under a bushel, but they set it upon a candlestick that all in the house might see. Yes. You know, church, what he has called us to do? He's called us to take that light that he's put inside of us. And that's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there, that the Lord put a light, God, who shined light into the darkness at the beginning of this creation. When he created the world, he said, let there be light. You remember before that the world was void and it was empty and full of darkness. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And I love that picture that Paul writes about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how that he takes that analogy of the creation. And he talks about what he does in the soul of every lost person when they get saved. He says he goes into a place of darkness and he shines a great light in there. Paul said in another place in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He said, behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Oh, the Lord needs to shine a light into your heart today. And get rid of the darkness. Send the darkness away that you might be like that man up there in the tombs. That you might have peace. That you might have satisfaction. That you might find the love of Jesus to help you. I'll tell you, you want to have some self-esteem tonight? Recognize that God loves you so much that he came into the world, left the glories of heaven, came into a sin-cursed world and died for you. Yeah. Died for you that you might have eternal life. I'll tell you, Jesus can set your mind at peace tonight. He can turn all the demons of hell away from you tonight. He can do that. Oh, the Lord is so good. Lord, we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, in the middle of the day, when it's light outside, we stumble around in our sins. As in the night, we are in desolate places like dead men. I'll tell you what you need to grope for tonight, what you need to feel after. In the New Testament, he said that we might feel after the Lord in prayer. That we might feel after the Lord in repentance. And really, that's what every sinner has to do. They have to come to the Lord in prayer, and you don't know how to pray. You've never had an experience with God, but you've got to pray and keep seeking and crying out and being sincere in your prayers. And it's like you're blind, but you're feeling after the Lord until you find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Yeah, feeling after the Lord tonight till you find him. That's what salvation is. Yeah, we don't tell people to just make a decision. We don't tell people to just come and agree to the truths of the Bible. We tell people that you've got to feel after the Lord in prayer until you get something real from heaven. And that's what you need tonight. You need to get something real from heaven. And salvation is real. This is not something that's fake. It's not something that's made up. This is not just a mindset. This is a supernatural work of God inside you that changes you. Amen. He goes through verses 11, 12, and 13 here. And really, the implication as you study this is confession. It's the implication is confession. That not only have we sinned, but then we come to a place where we have to get real honest with God. We have to get honest. And I'll tell you, if you believe the Lord's hand is short tonight, you're not being honest with yourself and you're not being honest with God. Recognize tonight that the problem is not upward, it's not outward, but the problem is inward. The problem is inward. Recognize that your cold, dark heart tonight is the issue, and that you need to confess your sins unto the Lord tonight. You don't need to confess them to me. You don't need to confess them to Brother Jeff. You don't need to confess them to anybody else here. Nobody else here can save your soul. Nobody else here can fix your sin problem. But the Lord Jesus can. The Lord Jesus can. He already knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He already knows tonight your history. He knows your past. He knows your present. He also knows your future. And I'll tell you tonight, he already knows the condition of your heart, but he wants you to confess to him the condition of your heart. He wants you to confess that to him tonight. Get real with Jesus tonight. Get real with him. When you get sincere and you get real and you stop playing around, you'll get somewhere with God. But you got to take it serious. I'll tell you, you don't have to be a chronic seeker like me. When I was out in Oregon, we had a woman that came to church. I think it was probably the second time that she came to church. And she was in her mid to late 40s at the time. She had had a big history of about everything a person can do. None of that matters. You know that? None of that matters. The Lord Jesus can forgive you of any sin that you've ever committed or you ever will commit. It doesn't matter what you've done tonight. He can forgive you of it. I mean, we had the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest writer of the New Testament. I don't know. Not that we're trying to say one's better than the other, but he was a great man of God. And we find that he was such a wicked man before that he got saved. He was religious. He was probably a good person as other people looked at him. But the Bible says that he was present at the stoning of Stephen. That there were men that came and laid their coats down at a young man named Saul's feet. The Bible says that after that Stephen died, and Stephen had a great witness to him. As they were stoning him to death, he looked out. The Bible said his countenance was like that of an angel's. That he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, Lord, forgive them, lay not this sin to their charge. And you know that forgiveness, that mercy had a great effect on Saul of Tarsus. I believe he came under a great conviction. You know that? He was troubled by that. That man was different than him. That man had a love for his enemies. And Saul didn't have that. Saul hated his enemies. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he wreaked havoc on the church. He was haling men and women, or literally dragging them off to prison. Men and women. He was a great sinner. But you know, Jesus forgave him of all those sins on the road to Damascus. He had a time and place experience. At noon on the road going to Damascus, he got saved. He found Jesus. And you too can have a time and place experience with Jesus tonight. You can. You can have that experience. There's no sin that you've done that he can't forgive you of. Not one at all. His arm is not shortened tonight that he cannot save. He can reach all the way from heaven down to you tonight, touch you down deep in your heart, forgive you all your sins, save your soul, make you fresh in the Lord, and give you an eternal home in heaven. Amen. Confess your sins unto him tonight. Just get real with him. You don't have to be a chronic seeker. I was stubborn. I was proud. I was resistant. I wanted to hold on to my pride, to my future, to my pride, to my dreams. I wanted to hold on to it. Listen, all you got to do is come up and lay it down. He's going to feel he can save you right now, save you tonight. So this lady in Oregon, second time she ever been in church. We get done preaching. She comes up front, kneels down for maybe five minutes, gets up, walks back to her seat. I said, does anybody have anything they want to say? Now, this is a woman that would barely even talk to me when I walked up to her. She stands up and says, yeah, I got something to say. I said, what was that? She said, the Lord just saved my soul. The Lord just saved my soul. You don't have to be a chronic seeker tonight. You just got to get real with the Lord. Get real with him. Get serious. Get sincere. Don't be fake. Just lay it all out there. He'll save you. We We go down a little farther, and I'm not going to preach much longer, but verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. I believe that God the Father, this is talking about God the Father, sending the Messiah. He's sending Jesus into the world. Sending the Messiah as an intercessor for you. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. We have an advocate with the Father, Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Advocate means an intercessor, a go-between, a friend. Amen. The Bible says there is a friend, one that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. You know what friend that is? That friend is Jesus Christ. Amen. You have never had a friend like Jesus, Amen. Ever. You'll never have one like Jesus. Right. He's referred to as the second Adam or the last Adam in the Bible because he's the perfect man. Amen. He's the ideal man. He's the man that Adam should have been and wasn't. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, was clad with zeal as a cloak. Boy, that sounds like the whole armor of God that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, but the Messiah came with it the first time. You know that? Listen, the Messiah came for you to save your soul. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to go looking for him. Amen. There's never been anybody that got saved without praying. Right. What you have to be tonight, all you have to be is willing. You've got to be willing. You've got to humble yourself enough to be willing to come and look for the Lord. Go looking for him tonight. Amen. Just humble yourself. You're amongst friends tonight. You're amongst people that love you. Don't be worried about what people think, my friend. All you need to be worried about tonight is what the Lord thinks. When you die and go to the judgment, there won't be anybody there standing with you. Right. Be you and the Lord, one-on-one. Amen. You and the Lord. You need to worry about what the Lord thinks tonight. Are you, let's have a song of invitation here. What, is the Lord drawing you tonight? Is the Lord compelling you by his still small voice? No one has to come and tell you to come and seek the Lord. The church invites you tonight. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is inviting you tonight. The bride, the church is inviting you tonight to come. But I'll tell you, you know down deep within whether you ought to come or not. The Lord has a way of communicating to people that they know it. They know it's the Lord. They know the Lord is the one speaking to them. If the Lord's speaking to you tonight, we want to invite you to come and seek him. As we stand and sing.